This is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm Nick Miles, and at 12 hours GMT on Sunday, the 14th of April, these are our headlines. Israel's Prime Minister has been responding to Iran's unprecedented overnight attacks. The Israeli army says it swore off the threat.
The Iranian threat met the Israeli Defense Forces' aerial and technological superiority. We intercepted 99% of those launched towards Israel's territory. This is a very significant strategic achievement.
Tehran warns Israel more could come.
If the Zionist regime takes any action against the Islamic Republic, whether on our soil or in places belonging to us in Syria or elsewhere, our next operation will be much larger.
We'll speak to our correspondent from BBC Persian about the mood in Tehran and our reporter in Jerusalem about concerns amongst Israelis. A day of diplomacy lies ahead with a G7 meeting and a UN Security Council gathering to find ways of de-escalating the situation. For years, Israel and Iran have been engaged in a shadow war, with Iran using proxy forces in Syria and Lebanon to carry out attacks. All that changed in the early hours of Sunday morning as Tehran, for the first time, carried out strikes from Iran against Israeli territory. It sent wave after wave of drones and missiles. Daniel Hagari is the Israeli military spokesperson.
Last night, Iran started an attack against Israel and launched more than 300 different threats. The Iranian threat met the Israeli Defense Forces' aerial and technological superiority, together with a strong fighting coalition that intercepted most of the threats. We intercepted 99% of those launched towards Israel's territory. This is a very significant strategic achievement.
Iran said the attack was in retaliation for an airstrike 2 weeks ago on one of its consulates in Damascus, widely thought to have been carried out by Israel. Our correspondent James Landale sent this report from Jerusalem.
The first sign an attack was imminent came during the evening when the Israeli army announced its forces were on full alert and dozens of warplanes were in the air. The civil authorities said mass gatherings and educational activities were to be restricted. And then an army spokesman confirmed the rumours. Iranian drones had been launched and were bound for Israel. People were urged to take shelter if they heard sirens. In a television address, the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said Israel was prepared. Our defence systems are deployed, he said. We are prepared for any scenario, both in defence and attack. The state of Israel is strong. The IDF is strong. The public is strong. Countries in the region announced their airspace was closed. We got a sense of the scale of the threat. About 100 drones were in the air, the army said. Iran confirmed the attack, but went further. There weren't just drones involved, but crews and ballistic missiles too. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said what he called the malicious Zionist regime was being punished for an airstrike on the Iranian consulate in Syria. Iran said the targets were military. But then came this. We heard sirens across the rooftops of Jerusalem. Explosions lit up the night as Iron Dome air defence missiles soared into the sky. The IDF reported similar alerts across the country. Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, a spokesman for Israel's army, was giving almost hourly updates.
The regime in Iran fired a massive swarm over 200 killer drones, cruise missiles and ballistic missiles towards the state of Israel. Together with our allies and partners across the region, we are operating at this very moment to defend Israel from Iran's attack.
It became clear the armed forces of those allies and partners were helping to intercept many of the drones and missiles before they reached Israel. Inevitably, some got through, causing what Daniel Hagari said was minor damage to a military base. There were few reports of casualties, apart from one girl critically injured. Overnight, Israel's war cabinet met. One official said there'd be a significant response.
James Landale. It's not like this wasn't expected, and Israel was certainly prepared. But it's still a shock. So what's the mood in Israel? I asked our Middle East correspondent Hugo Bashaga in Jerusalem.
Well, it was a very long night for millions across the country because, you know, air raid alerts sounded in the middle of the night. There were explosions from objects being intercepted by the air defense systems. But this morning, as far as I can tell, it seems that life is back to normal. The airspace has been reopened. This is the first working day of the week, so I'm assuming that lots of people were going back to work. And I can't see any sign of panic. Obviously, there has been a lot of anxiety, a lot of concern, especially before this attack, because for days we've been talking about those warnings that an Iranian attack was imminent. But this morning, there aren't any kind of recommendations by the authorities. So it does feel like life is going back to normal.
What you can guarantee, though, is that behind the scenes, there will be frantic political activity to decide what happens next. What indications are you getting, if any, about where Israel goes now?
I think the big question this morning is about whether there will be any kind of Israeli reaction to all of this. This was an unprecedented attack. For the first time ever, Iran carried out a direct attack on Israel. So before this attack happened, Israeli authorities had warned Iran that any kind of direct attack would lead to an Israeli reaction. So this morning, the Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said that the confrontation with Iran wasn't yet over. There was a meeting of the War Cabinet overnight to discuss the situation. But at the same time, there was a phone call between President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu. President Biden again reaffirmed American support for Israel. But very interestingly, according to reports, he also told Prime Minister Netanyahu that the US doesn't support the idea of any kind of retaliation. So I think there's a lot of effort behind the scenes now to de-escalate the situation.
Where does this situation now leave Mr. Netanyahu politically? Weakened or strengthened, do you think?
I think there will be some pressure perhaps from some of his hardline allies for some kind of response, some kind of Israeli reaction. He has been under a lot of pressure already from international partners who are very frustrated with the way the war in Gaza is going, with the high number of civilian casualties, that, you know, desperate humanitarian situation in Gaza. Internally, he's under a lot of pressure from the families of the hostages who want to deal with Hamas, for the hostages to be freed. But he's also under pressure from some of his allies who don't want to see any kind of concession to Hamas. So I think this adds an extra layer, perhaps, of difficulties for the Prime Minister as he, you know, considers his options.
As Hugo was saying, the US President Joe Biden has spoken to Benjamin Netanyahu. He said that US support for Israel is ironclad. Mr. Biden will convene a meeting with G7 leaders later today to agree a united response. So what kind of support can we expect the US to offer? Our correspondent Will Vernon is in Washington.
This was an unprecedented large-scale attack on America's most important ally in the Middle East, directly onto its territory by Iran. So the Israelis will almost certainly be looking to retaliate. And I think pressure will now grow on the Biden administration over what exactly to do about that, whether the Israelis should be reined in somehow, the level of support that the US should offer the Israelis. Whatever the conclusion is, they will be urged to proceed with caution to ensure they don't get somehow dragged into an escalatory tit-for-tat conflict with Iran that could trigger a wider regional war. But as I say, I mean, President Biden in his statement so far is just talking about a diplomatic response, isn't he? There's no indication there of the extent of support the US might offer. It's actually been not a bad result, actually, for Mr. Biden. He said in that statement that no US forces or facilities were hit in the Iranian assault today. And that is a good thing because it means that America is less likely to be somehow forced into any sort of direct military confrontation with Iran. And this is one of the reasons why there were repeated warnings from the White House, from other US officials in the last few days. They wanted to de-escalate the tensions and ensure that this didn't somehow snowball into something that was then out of their control.
Will Vernon. Still to come in this podcast, our international editor, Jeremy Bowen, gives us his view on what might happen next.
A red line has been crossed. for the first time since the Islamic Republic started back in 79, after the revolution, the Iranians have directly hit Israeli soil. It's by no means certain that this is the end of it, that the line is going to be drawn under it. But I think that if the line is not drawn under it, then it really is a very dangerous moment.
As we heard earlier, Israel says there was little damage done by the attacks overall. The IDF says 99% of the more than 300 cruise missiles and drones were shot down. But the chief of Iran's army, General Mohammad Hossein Bagheri, has warned that if Israel chooses to retaliate, more attacks will follow.
From our point of view, this operation is over, and there is no intention to continue the operation. But if the Zionist regime takes any action against the Islamic Republic, whether on our soil or in places belonging to us in Syria or elsewhere, our next operation will be much larger.
Baron Abbasi from BBC Persian told me how the attacks were being viewed in Iran.
The Iranian government has hailed this operation as a success. The chief of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps has said that it did better than expected. It was limited, and the aim was those Israeli assets that were involved in the attack 2 weeks ago on the Iranian consulate in Damascus. They view this operation as over, and they have no intention of carrying on. But they have warned Israel not to retaliate, and they've also warned the United States that if it supports Israel in any kind of retaliatory operation, they will attack US bases in the region.
And with regards to social media and people in general across Iran, what kind of reaction has there been to this? Is it generally supported?
The Iranian regime is very unpopular among ordinary people. We have seen different rounds of protests in Iran, deadly protests that have resulted in hundreds of people dead and a lot of thousands of people imprisoned. So the Iranians have time and again expressed their support for peace and have said that they do not want the Iranian regime to get involved in any kind of war in the region, even through its proxies or direct attacks. So they have taken to social media and have said that this is a war between the two regimes and the Iranians want peace. But there have been a handful of supporters of the regime who took to the streets last night after the operation was launched, and they were celebrating on the streets.
So the Iranian regime doesn't necessarily gain credibility by doing this. So what is the overall purpose of it?
The Iranian regime seems to have been seeking to retain its credibility among its own supporters and also their proxies, its proxy forces in the region. It has so far been reluctant to get involved directly with Israel. Two regimes have been involved in kind of a proxy war over the years, but Iran has not responded to any kind of attack that Israel did against its assets in the region. But this seems that Iran seemed this was a red line that had been crossed, and it was under pressure to respond.
Baron Abbasi. There's been widespread international concern over the Iranian attack. The United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres expressed deep alarm at what he said was a very real danger of a devastating escalation. Britain said the attack was reckless and showed that Iran was intent on sowing chaos in its own backyard. Saudi Arabia has called on all parties to spare the region from the dangers of war. Egypt and Qatar urged maximum restraint. China, meanwhile, said the escalation was the latest spillover from the conflict in Gaza and called for calm. So how are Israelis reacting to the Iranian drone attacks? I spoke to our correspondent, Joel Greenberg, in Jerusalem.
Israeli politicians feel they've succeeded in what they say is, you know, they say they've thwarted the Iranian attack. And seeing this also in a way as a diplomatic advantage for Israel, which has really taken a beating during the Gaza war because of the humanitarian crisis in Gaza and the high loss of civilian lives there, a feeling that now the world is kind of looking at things a little differently and seeing the Iranian threat and what Israel is facing. And Israel's success in repelling this threat, the feeling is, in a lot of the analysis today, is it should work to Israel's advantage internationally.
Joel, just one question about the media reaction to what happened overnight.
Well, one of the commentators who's very prominent in one of the biggest websites here was saying he described it as a defeat for Iran and a real chance for Israel to rehabilitate its international image, which, again, as we said earlier, has taken a real beating during the Gaza war, and that this is an opportunity for the West to see things for what they are. Iran is the main threat. Hamas in Gaza is a proxy of Iran. This is the way he described it. And that this was an opportunity for Israel to get out of its international isolation and the corner it's been in diplomatically because of the civilian losses and humanitarian crisis in Gaza. So that's one take on it. Another, again, is advice by some of these commentators for the government to consider very carefully whether it should respond in any big way, because, again, the tremendous risk of regional war and especially attacks from Lebanon by Hezbollah. And, of course, again, perhaps from Iran. So that's definitely a word of caution there for the government to think very carefully before it decides on any kind of response to what happened overnight. Politically, there will be pressure on the prime minister to retaliate. There have been ideas put forward that Israel would look weak if it did not respond to this unprecedented direct attack from Iran. On the other hand, the prime minister is under very heavy pressure from the United States, the UK, other European countries, not to do anything that would ignite a regional conflict, a general regional conflict.
Now, these drone and missile strikes from Iran were unprecedented. The first time that Iran had sent missiles from Iran into Israel. Do you think people in Israel, ordinary people, see that unprecedented nature and for what it is, or are they not necessarily overly concerned by this escalation?
The immediate threat actually is from Lebanon, where Hezbollah, the Iranian-backed group, has quite an arsenal of missiles that it could fire at Israeli population centers. And so I think there is worry that, you know, if there is a substantial Israeli response, what the implications would be for ordinary Israelis if this would ignite a conflict, for example, across the Lebanese frontier. So on the one hand, yes, I think a lot of satisfaction and relief that the air defense systems worked and managed to intercept, you know, a large number, maybe, you know, most of the incoming missiles and drones. But on the other hand, I think there is some apprehension about whether an Israeli large-scale response in Iran could bring population centers under attack here. So I don't think there's any enthusiasm about that right now.
Joel Greenberg, let's get some more analysis now from our international editor, Jeremy Bowen. Mariam Moshiri asked him his views about whether the situation will escalate.
I think a lot of it depends on what Israel does itself, and they are getting a lot of signals from their allies, who helped them out enormously, of course, in the course of the night. The Americans giving this very strong signal, ironclad security, essentially saying, we've got your back. The British were involved, the Jordanians were involved, and the Israelis themselves, of course, have got extremely formidable air defense capabilities. And so for Iran, you know, I think it will be a bit crushing to see that they got almost nothing through that net. So the question now is, will Israel decide to hit back, perhaps on Iranian soil? And that would be a further escalation. The messages that I've been getting, I was speaking to a senior Western diplomat who said to me, he said, look, it's been a long night. Our job now is to draw a line under this. In other words, started on April the 1st, this particular episode, with the Israelis. I mean, they haven't said that they've done it, but they've made it clear that they've done it. They attacked the diplomatic compound that Iran has in Damascus. They killed a senior general, another senior general, and a number of others in doing that. And I think that the Iranians interpreted that as an attack on their own soil, which they had to answer. They telegraphed quite clearly that they were going to do something. So Israel was ready. They mobilized reserves in their air defense units. The Americans were ready, the Brits, others. So the Western side, Israel's allies, are now hoping that that's the end of this particular episode, but that's not certain.
You said it would be crushing for the Iranians that what's happened hasn't had more of an impact, but some are saying that that may be what they actually wanted.
Yeah.
Calibrated response that was calibrated to not really do damage, but to send a message.
Yeah, and for Iran, it's very important to try and restore a sense of deterrence. That's what their network of allies, Hezbollah, others, the Houthis, that's what all that's about. And clearly the fact that the Israelis were able to hit a very senior officer and destroy a building in the diplomatic compound and think that they could get away with it effectively is something that shows their deterrence was not strong. So they're trying to restore that.
Tell me a little bit more now about the US-Israel dynamic, because you mentioned there what the US is saying publicly, but there's always a difference, isn't it, between public and private. Do you think there's more pressure privately and that's going to be key?
Well, a usually very reliable and well-informed Israeli journalist tweeted that Biden has effectively said to Netanyahu, you've got a victory here, you look stronger, take this, bank it, that's it. And note in his response when Biden, in his statement, he said, we'll convene the G7 for a diplomatic response to this. Not we will get our allies together to see what else we can do to Iran. So I think that what has not changed is that the Americans do not want an escalation in the Middle East. They don't want Israel hitting mainland Iran or even necessarily upping what they're doing to Iran's most powerful ally, which is Hezbollah in Lebanon. But, you know, a red line has been crossed for the first time since the Islamic Republic started back in 79, after the revolution. The Iranians have directly hit Israeli soil. So I've seen two noises coming from Israeli right-wingers saying, we can't let this stand. We have to respond. This is a tough neighbourhood. You can't show weakness. So it's by no means certain that this is the end of it, that the line is going to be drawn under it. But I think that if the line is not drawn under it, then it really is a very dangerous moment.
How long before we find out where that line is going to be drawn?
Well, that's a question that we can only speculate about, whether it would be immediate or whether they might wait or maybe they wouldn't do it at all. I think there's an enormous amount of diplomatic activity going along now to try and stop that happening.
And in the meantime, what's happening in Gaza has now become a secondary consideration, has it not?
Well, this, in a sense, this has changed the subject. And this is quite good as well for Israel. It's another reason for Netanyahu to feel much happier this morning, because there was been a great deal of tension between the Americans and the Israelis about the way that the Israelis have conducted the war in Gaza, the famine that their siege has created, the numbers of civilians who they've killed. And now what they're talking about alliance, unity, America's got your back. So that's the kind of vibe that the Israelis and Netanyahu would far rather hear.
Jeremy Bowe. And that's all from us for now, but there will be a new edition of the Global News podcast later on. If you want to comment on this podcast or the topics covered in it, you can send us an email. The address is globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk. You can also find us on X @GlobalNewsPod. This edition was mixed by Chris Murphy and produced by Vanessa Heaney. The editor is Karen Martin. I'm Nick Miles, and until next time, goodbye.